This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by the Canadian Boreal Initiative, advancing conservation to create sustainable solutions for our boreal forest.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of Nation Talk. On today's show, we have Barry Green, Chair and CEO of Toronto-based Green Rock Real Estate Advisors and trustee of the Barry and Lori Green Family Charitable Trust. With over 30 years of experience in the Canadian multifamily sector, Barry is responsible for the oversight of operations, family office, and philanthropic divisions of the Green Rock organization. Barry co-created Green Rock's Impact Program, which responds to the vital real-time needs of residents and community members through a variety of annual initiatives, volunteer programs, and donations. With support from the Barry and Lori Green Trust, Barry is deeply committed to reconciliation with Indigenous peoples. Prior to founding Green Rock Property Management Limited, Barry worked at Greenwind Property Management for over 20 years, serving in different roles, including CEO from 2003 to 2006. Barry, I just want to say, welcome to Nation Talk.
Oh, thank you so much, Andre. It's a pleasure to be here and a real honor. Great to be here today.
Thank you. Now, with your wife, Lori, you have supported many Indigenous initiatives. Can you talk to us a little bit about that path?
Sure. Well, first let me say that, you know, I'm not Indigenous. I have no lived experience as an Indigenous person. But as you mentioned, Andre, I have become deeply committed to reconciliation. And, you know, my story involves, of all things, the Syrian refugee crisis. And I remember with a group of associates at work and with friends, we had sponsored a Syrian family and raised funds, you know, found and furnished a rental flat, helped this particular family get established here. And I'll admit that whole program, you know, even now, you know, makes me feel good. You know, I felt very much proud of the country and frankly, you know, patriotic. But at the same time, I remember feeling a real disconnect. You know, that refugee crisis, which, you know, happened pretty much at the same time as the TRC's final report and the 94 calls to action, you know, that made me reflect. And slowly I started to recognize my own apathy, if not ignorance, about Indigenous peoples. And I was eager, as I said, proud to embrace the chance to support these refugees in need, but not so for our Indigenous peoples who have been punished, if not, you know, subjected to genocide for over 150 years. So that initial question started me on a new path, you know, to listen and learn. And I felt much shame about the history of the country, but also a feeling of responsibility and a desire to help repair the damage that settler Canada has caused. So I guess, Andre, that's a long-winded way of telling you that, you know, with Lori, why we've sought out, if only in a small way, actions that can help create real equity for Indigenous peoples.
Well, I would say that that was not a long-winded response. It was a very, very focused response. And from an individual that, you know, Barry, I want our listeners to know that you and I have known each other for a number of years. Within the Indigenous community, your charitable giving and support has been phenomenal. Can you speak to our listeners a little bit about and tell us a little bit about some of the initiatives that you have supported, you and your family trust?
Sure. Well, our support generally brings an educational lens to our initiatives. And some of our giving partners include Inspire, where we've helped support their Rivers to Success mentoring program for scholarship recipients. We've worked with TVO Ontario on their Hubs initiative that has created a journalism hub focused on Indigenous content. A more recent commitment is to Miskoaki, a confluence of cultures, and that's an Indigenous learning exhibit, part of a new building at the Muskoka Discovery Center in Gravenhurst here in Southern Ontario. And, you know, I'm very proud that it's been supported by 11 local Indigenous communities, led by this fellow, this incredible guy, Tim Johnson. We've supported some film work, including at Wingish Film Institute, based in Michigan First Nation on Manitoulin Island, as well as a film on Indigenous architecture that's being premiered this month on TVO. And that features, amongst others, Douglas Cardinal, Canada's first Indigenous architect. And finally, perhaps, you know, I'd mention some more general support to the Ontario Native Women's Association, whom you're very familiar with, and Anishinaabe Health Toronto, NAN, Anishinaabe Aski Nation, and CCAB, Canadian Council for Aboriginal Business. So these are just a number of our recipients.
Wow, that is formidable. But I want to ask you, Barry, there's a focus on education that you spoke of so powerfully. Is there anything in your background, or is there any specific reason why you feel education is so important?
You know, let me say that our trust provides simply that we can support other registered charities, meaning that our mandate, well, initially at least, has been very broad. And as a result, developing a strategic plan has been an ongoing process. You know, with Lori, we've been very lucky to use our trust to get to the point where we are now, that the majority of our giving is focused on Indigenous recipients and other initiatives that promote equity generally. You know, for example, we support Women's College Hospital here in Toronto and their Center for Wise Practices, which is a treatment program that uses an Indigenous lens in everything we do. But if there's a more particular focus, it continues to be, as you mentioned, on education. And, you know, you and I, many of us have heard this comment from Murray Sinclair that, you know, education got us into this mess and it'll get us out of it. So I'm convinced that structural change in education is the only long-term way of achieving real reconciliation going forward. And to do this, we need to educate all of our young people. As our kids grow and need and want to take a more critical and qualitative look at our school curriculums, and perhaps most importantly, learning opportunities in early childhood education. But again, our giving is a process, and you know, I continue to look for opportunities to promote education initiatives that encompasses an educational aspect.
Well, you know, the power of what you're speaking to right now has been elevated in the news and in the psyche of this country with tragic 215 Indigenous children buried in a mass grave in Kamloops Residential School. I wonder if there needs to be an even larger focus on education for children in schools so they understand, non-Indigenous children across this country have the opportunity to understand the residential school system and what actually took place.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, well said. You know, how can we not be thinking about the 215 kids found at Kamloops Residential School? And certainly it's been a very emotional time for me and no doubt for many, you know, across the country. Andre, maybe if there's something positive that come out of this discussion about Kamloops and, you know, in residential schools generally, it's the discussion itself. You know, you've heard what happened to me in 2015. You know, I reached a personal tipping point where I couldn't ignore my apathy about Indigenous peoples anymore. So the effect of COVID generally, and now more awareness and media around residential schools, you know, hopefully more of us are reaching that tipping point. And that will help, I think, ultimately create more equity for Indigenous peoples. So Kamloops, for me, only hardens my commitment to the need for education for Indigenous and, importantly, all settlers. But in partnership with Indigenous peoples, you know, to use an Indigenous lens if we're going to achieve a reconciliation. If I may, Andre, you know, I wanted to mention also that symbolism is important. And, you know, I've ordered, for example, you know, a number of red dresses to display and represent my and our support for Indigenous peoples, and in this case, you know, the horrors of missing and murdered Indigenous women. But a friend recently commented that in response to the 215, he said, you know, some called for a day of action. Then he asked, well, how about a generation of action? So on that note, I want to stay focused. Yeah, I want to stay focused on, you know, moving forward with action and not just words and symbolism. And again, you know, hope the country will as well.
Wow. Generation of action. That's impactful. Now, can you talk to us a bit about your impact giving program that's associated with your company? What role has philanthropy played in your business?
Yes. Well, you know, I've been the chair of our board for many years now, but recently I took on the new role of chief executive this past January. And as you probably gathered, you know, it's been a time of personal growth. And, you know, I don't know about you, Andre, but these last few weeks have been emotional and a real time of reflection for sure. you know, whether it's in terms of 2SLGBTQIA support, gender equality, you know, the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter, and of course supporting Indigenous people, you know, the idea of seeking in tangible ways greater equity for all has been very much front and center for me. And, you know, you may have heard this term in the media, this acronym, ESG, which stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. And it's the idea, at least, that companies need to be more aware of their environmental footprint and their relationship with their staff and their clients and have more, you know, more diversification on their board and so forth. So consistent with this concept of ESG, for me, there's a recognition that it's not just government and legislation that promote equal rights, but companies as well. So my job has certainly been a challenge, for sure. But it's also been one that's been empowering to the extent that, again, if only in a small way, there's been an opportunity to promote meaningful change on human rights.
You speak of a lot of initiatives. One of the initiatives that you have supported is the Anishinaabe Health Foundation and the creation of the new Anishinaabe Health Center that is going to be breaking ground very soon. And I just wanted to know if you'd like to maybe speak to that a little bit.
You know, I'm grateful to you for your involvement. The idea of consolidating the different points of service around Toronto to consolidate that into one incredibly important new location immediately appealed. It was something that's needed and very, very proud to have supported that initiative. And I know it was well needed, required, and, you know, I'm just grateful for your leadership and looking forward to breaking ground.
Well, you know, I think that is a beautiful segue to say, Barry, is there any parting thought, anything that you would like to say as we wind up our conversation here today?
A further angle on your question with regard to our company and the idea that this work has been such a win-win from the perspective of our company. You know, being able to help a lot of people with these funds is, of course, you know, the primary benefit. But can't tell you what a great tool this giving has been to build morale and company unity. You know, the level of someone's salary is obviously a big part of why anyone chooses to work for a particular company, but it's certainly not the only reason. And, you know, when staff want to know that they're working for a company that care in a tangible way about community. And we hear this often from stakeholders and staff. Our business includes managing apartment buildings, and so we invite our residents to vote on a selection of charities to involve our staff in also recommending and researching funding recipients for recommendation to our board. So again, back to this idea around strategic giving, the process has allowed us to ensure that much thought has been put into focusing on support, and whether that's, you know, food security, recipients focused on women's support, on youth, on related shelter needs, 2SLGBTQIA needs, and in the case of our most recent funding, you know, over 15% has been committed and now funded to Indigenous recipients. So very much proud of this work and all good.
Wow. Barry, I just want to say chimagwech to you, Barry Green, Chair and CEO of Toronto-based Green Rock Real Estate Advisors and trustee of the Barry and Lori Green Family Charitable Trust. I want you to know that I know the work that you are doing, not just here in Toronto, but the work that you're doing in so many places. You are going to be a part of that generation of action. And I just want to say chimagwech to you and thank you so much for being with us here today on Nation Talk.
Thank you so much, Andre, for having me. It's been an honor.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by the Canadian Boreal Initiative, advancing conservation to create sustainable solutions for our boreal forest.